to teach it with me. But no comments on that. Before we begin, I'll open up in prayer. And if you think what you read in the chapel news is correct, you've been misinformed. It said we're going to do an in-depth study or a deep study. And I read that, I said, oh no. I don't think I could do that. I don't believe I could do that. I appreciate the book of James. And honestly with you, years ago, I had the book memorized. The only book I ever memorized. Because I felt it was very practical for me. I liked it. It was basic. It wasn't deep. So that's why I did that. It took me a long time. And it still comes back in pieces. And it's going to come out in pieces as I talk. But unfortunately, it's going to come out in the version that I memorized it in. And not in the ESV that we're all used to. So let me open up in a word of prayer. And then I'm going to ask you the big question. And that's the first one is going to be, tell me anything you know about the book of James or about the author James. And then we're going to ratchet jaw on that for just a few minutes. But let's start with a word of prayer. Father, if we're honest and we try to be that in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. And I cannot teach this. I cannot. Only the Spirit of God and people that love the Lord and want to learn your word. Father, we're just gathered together to learn the word of God so that we may walk more uprightly. And I ask that you help myself, you help each teacher that will teach this morning here at chapel, and help each one of us to learn what you have for us, Father, and that we earnestly mean with our hearts. Amen. Okay, it's a wide open game to begin with, and then I'm going to give you a handout, and you can do whatever you want with it, because once I give it to you, it's yours. You know, I just always appreciated when somebody gave me something and it said, you did that with my gift to you? I said, you gave it to me, you know, come on. So I'm going to give you a gift, not a gift, a handout. But to start with, anybody tell me anything you can remember about the book of James or about the author of the book of James? And Matt Dodd's going to run around like trying to keep up with us. But Kathy, you'll go first. Thank you. I think it's best if we get that because we all want to hear what you have to say.
I only know this because I read it in my notes to the study Bible last night. So I'm going to be honest. And that was that they think that the author was the brother of Jesus, biological brother, and that there are connections to the Beatitudes. And that's it.
That's spot on. And in the handout, you're going to see some of those connections. We're not going to look at them in depth. But we're going to use that, and that's stuff that I think we'll agree with 100%. And the brother, we call him the half-brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. Anybody else? The book of James. I'm sorry, Georgia.
That's okay.
Throw it at me. I'll wake up.
I was going to say that Martin Luther had a little bit of a controversy with him, I believe.
Yes, and he's not the only one. Because of his statement that man's not saved by faith alone, but by what? Works.
Faith without works is dead.
Yes, faith without works is dead. And we're going to let Georgia deal with that later in about 3 weeks. but it's something we should be able to talk about because we believe James is inspired, and it is, and we believe it teaches the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So we want to know what we can learn from that in that particular point. Thank you, Georgia. Anybody else? About the man James, about the book of James? Oh, right here. Think of it. Just wait for that because you're going to get your... Do you have one of those watches that tell you how many steps?
Don't.
Neither do I.
Your tongue reveals what's in your heart.
Oh. Yep. What comes out of your mouth... Thank you, Beth. That is so spot on. It's usually in your heart. And that's what the Bible says. Okay, Who's a nice volunteer to hand out the handouts? I'm not going to throw them. Kathy, just kind of shuffle them around, get them around. And you don't have to take one, but they're helpful for me. When I was in school, blah, 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 I liked the teachers that handed out handouts because I wasn't trying to viciously take notes, and most of you don't take notes in Sunday school. But it's a tool to learn. That's all it is, a tool to learn. And what we're going to look at first is the person of James. Now, anybody know anything about James besides he's the half-brother of Jesus? Anything? Well, I'm looking for my glasses. Okay, once you get the handout, and this morning we're not even going to get into chapter 1, verse 1. We might play with that. The whole introduction this morning is going to be to the book of James. It's going to be a little bit about James, and then a little bit about the book. And I think with that, we'll have a better understanding to get a little bit deeper into this New Testament book. So look in the handout, dot. And if you think this handout's nice, don't say anything to me. But please let Adrienne know, because she put this mess together, and she did a great job. Without that, I'll tell you what, it would not have looked good at all. But let's talk about the man James. Who is he? And I have two references there in the book of Acts. And first it says in Acts, it's Acts 1 through 7. If you remember, in the very beginning of the church, Acts 1 through 7, Peter's the key speaker. And Tom Dodd spoke on Acts 1 through 7 a while ago. But along with Peter, there's two references in the book of Acts to James, and that's the half-brother of Jesus. And James spent most, if not all, of his life in Jerusalem. So he's very active in the beginning and the development of the church. Kind of neat to know. Then the next reference there is to Acts 15. Now, we're not going to open this up. We're not going to take the time to do that. But you can go back and read it if you want, and most of us will be just looking for lunch when we go home. But in Acts 15 is what's called the Jerusalem Council. In that council, there were some big issues developing in the beginning of the church. Now, we said this is Acts 1 through 7. The church is developing now. And then actually Acts 8 through 12, there's a lot of persecution in the church. And that's what happened in the book of James and in the book of 1 Peter. Pastor Tom had mentioned this morning. The church is being persecuted, so the church is moving out of Jerusalem. And then in Acts 13 to 28, we have the Apostle Paul and the three missionary journeys. But in Acts 15, we can really get an eyeball on James, because this is the Jerusalem Council. Two humongous issues had come up at the beginning of the church. The first one, not quite as big, but it was addressed in the Jerusalem Council. And Pastor Tom had mentioned about the development of the PCA in the last several weeks. And I just sat there and said, unless it's all written down, I'll never remember this, but it sounds really good. And it was. But this Jerusalem Council, now this is the birth of the church, Acts 1 through 7. The first issue that they had to deal with, not quite as big as the second one, was can we allow the Gentiles to come into the church with the Jews? And so James is actually like the spokesperson at the Jerusalem Council. So this is a top-notch guy. And he says, yes, Jews and Gentiles alike are welcomed into the church. But then the second question came in that was the biggest one of all, and that was basically the need for this council. And it's something that seems so simple to us. Can man be saved? Can we be saved by the law? And James said, no. No way. It's by grace and by grace alone. He's the keynote speaker in the Jerusalem Council. Now, this is the man, the half-brother of Jesus, that grew up with him. And we can begin to see that we don't learn much else about him, but he's a sharp guy. I think he was sharp with those two things. He's in the development of Acts 1 through 7 with the early church, And when it comes to Acts 15, at this big council meeting about Jews and Gentiles being allowed in the church, and also can you be saved by grace or is it by law? And he said, it's only by God's grace. So here you get this guy that's stepping up, and we get to learn just a little bit more about him. Now, what's the reference in Galatians there? Can you follow that with me in the handout? Galatians chapter what?
2:9.
The Apostle Paul. Now remember, in the beginning of the church, he is crucifying and killing Christians. Now that's in the book of Acts. And then we see him at the end of Acts, he's going on these three missionary journeys to all throughout Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, Greece, and Asia Minor. He's just going. So here's this great speaker. We know the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. It's like Romans. Whoa, that's deep. No, we're not doing a deep study of that. What does he say about James? Now, trust me in this, and you can look it up later. If we look up all these verses, we'll be fumbling around too much. Paul says that James, the half-brother of Jesus that wrote this book, was a pillar of the faith. That's a nice, if someone called me a pillar of the faith of the church of chapel, I'd say, well, you don't know me well enough, but thank you. That's just such compliments. So here he is at the beginning of Acts 1 through 7, at the foundations, the birth of the church. Acts 15, this man, James, is the keynote speaker at the Jerusalem Council. And he's saying, of course, Jews and Gentiles alike are welcome into the church of God. But then he said, man can only be saved by grace and not by the law. Big, big controversies at that time. So a sharp guy. Now, in the second section of this handout, Adrian did. Thank you, Adrian. Is put this in order. This is like the history of the New Testament. Now, if you remember when Tom, not Pastor Tom, I call him the TNT, Tom Dodd, Tom Stein. When Tom Dodd spoke on Acts, he said it only covered about, you know, the New Testament, about 70 years. And it's between 70, 80, 90, you know, you read another book, you read something different. But this is just like the whole New Testament only puts about 100 years, you know, of life in there. You could have lived during that entire time. But I want you to just think with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the Gospels. We all know that. That's the life of Christ. And then right after that, now we're looking at the chronological history, not the books in the Bible the way you're going to find them. It's the history that James wrote. Well, what are you talking about, Greg? Right about at that same time, because James was with Peter in Acts 1 through 7. So it's right after the Gospels that James is putting together this book. And for me, I think he's showing some of the foundations of the faith. Not the foundations only, but the fundamentals. I'm not an athlete. You can tell by looking. Don't look too hard because you'll be more disappointed. But I got some grandsons that are really doing exceptionally well in their track. It's really neat to watch them. But they're always working on the fundamentals. The fundamentals. I don't think Ron Klein is here today. He used to teach baseball, you know, how to bat up. You stand a certain way, you know. I can remember my dad coaching, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. How can I keep my eye on a ball and swing a bat? I couldn't do it, and I didn't have a good average. But James, after the Gospels, the life of Christ, and then the death, burial, and resurrection, he's giving some fundamentals of the faith. Then we go into the book of Acts, the book of Romans, and then we go into the general and the Pauline epistles. So the book that we're going to be looking at this coming month is just the basics or the fundamentals of the faith. And in a few minutes, you're going to see some really, I think, some neat stuff. Now this you're going to not find in any other book you read on the book of James, because I wrote it down, and I'm not an author. But I want you to look here about the next dot down on your handout. It says tulip. Let me see. Well, Greg, that's, you know, That's the Reformed faith. That's, you know, Calvinistic teaching. What are you doing with that in the book of James? I don't know. How you like that? But what I want you to look at is the acrostic tulip. And then look at the verses to the right. And as I read through, and you can ask Judy, my wife, I've been listening to on Audible the book of James for months, every day, just trying to get it in my head, get it in my head. I see some pre-teaching, not by James, but by the Holy Spirit working through his life. Now, this is the basics, okay, the fundamentals of the faith, because the church is just born right now. Well, what do you mean, Greg? What's the T stand for in TULIP? This is some of our Reformed thinking. It's total what?
Depravity.
Total depravity. What does James say? If you committed one sin, you committed them all. We'll look at that in chapter 2. That sounds like total depravity. He uses the word chosen. Now, we all know, most of us know the book of James. We think of, you know, we got to get control of our tongue. We got to, you know, and as Bev told us, what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So we got to watch it. We got to be very careful. And we're so all very familiar with, you know, be quick to what? Hear. Slow to anger. We know that this is James. This is James. But here in this book, I think we have the Holy Spirit. Now, this is me, and you can tattletale Pastor Tom, and he'll give me a call. We see pre-teaching on Calvinistic teaching. Now, I don't think Calvin pushed this, you know. Calvin didn't even write the Institutes. After he died, they put it together. So, you know, but you see the Holy Spirit pre-teaching, total depravity. He uses the word chosen. It's right there in the book. I didn't put it there. It's to get some fundamentals of the faith. And then we go into the book of Romans, and you start getting in deeper and deeper and deeper. So, and perseverance of the saints. That means that Pastor Tom just ended the message this morning about, you know, we're going to get beat up in our Christian faith. You know, people didn't like Christ, they're not going to like us. We're going to go through some hard times, and most of life is very difficult. Everybody here has got struggles, and we got we get beat up the more you stand up for Christ. That's the fifth point of TULIP, perseverance. You hang in there through all that. And James, he said, count it all joy. And we'll take a look at that next week. When you go through all the trials, not some of them, all of them. And don't ask me to explain that because I can't. Judy and I struggle with some right now. Not in our relationship. We do that too, though. But in some of our family situations, it's just like, But he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why? Because unless we see God work through it, and that's the only way we're going to make it. We're not going to make it, right? That's part of it. But that's the perseverance of the saints. Do you see the Holy Spirit count it all joy when you have various trials, for the testing of your faith produces it, steadfastness and endurance? Do you see that perseverance coming up a little bit? Can I get a nod? A little bit? Maybe the Holy Spirit was just pre-teaching some of the heavy doctrine that's going to come down the line. Kind of a neat thing. This is all introduction. This is just getting into the book of James, and I love it. I love it. Now the 1, 2, 3, the fourth thought down. Just look at this. Someone give me some thought, because I'm gonna. This says commands in James. I don't know the Greek. I actually thought about taking a Greek course down at Geneva because it's so neat. But look what's there, because I read it and I put it on the notes and I found it in the book. This isn't me. A total of 100 and how many verses in James? How many commands in the book of James? 54 imperatives. That's in the original language, the Greek. That's when it's a command. Do you have any idea of that? Half of the verses, and I'm thinking, can that be real? So that's why I listed them. Poor Adrian had to type all that out, but better her than me, I guarantee you. Look at how many imperatives are used in that Greek language in the book of James. Now, somebody give me an answer. Why? Where did it come from? What's that tell us about James? Any thoughts? There's no right or wrong here. Again, I think it's just really neat stuff to think about. Half the time he's talking to the people on the fundamentals of the faith, these are imperatives. It's not like, oh, if you're a parent of a young child now, forgive me. When I hear my own children tell my grandchildren, would you please do that? I'm like, you're asking them to please obey you. I don't get it, but that's okay. I'm not supposed to get it at 71. But what I try to get here is in the book of James, half of these verses are commands. What do you think when you read, when I share that with you? This isn't my great revelation. I read it and put it down there just trying to think about this book. Anybody? Doers of the word. Doers of the word. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that phrase, but I didn't remember that it was in James.
It is. It is. Don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. And in just a minute, we're going to bring that one up just a tiny bit. Yeah. But he's not asking them to do that, is he? Mm-mm. He's not like a fireside chapel and, you know, the fire's going and we're just talking and, hey, guys, do you think this ought to be good to follow Jesus around a little bit? No. He's revved up. And he's no dum-dum. If he led that Jerusalem council, let me tell you, it wasn't wishy-washy. Can you be saved by the law? He's saying, no. He's laying it down. Can we close the door to Gentiles? No. Get a flavor of this man, James. He's the half-brother of Jesus. Kathy shared that with us. And it doesn't seem like at the beginning of his life that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I wasn't there, you weren't there, so we don't know for sure. We can't find that in the scriptures. That you can't find. But after the death, burial, and resurrection, the light switch came on, didn't it? This is my bro. And let me tell you, I lived with the guy. I lived with him. And he is the Son of God. Wow. And so when he goes to speak in this book, he's not saying, come on, Mike, you can follow Jesus. You got it, Mike, don't you, brother? He's looking you square in the eyeball and saying, Mike, get with it. Be easy on Greg. Mike said, well, he's pulling back on me there. But just get a taste of that a little bit. This man, James, key speaker, Jerusalem Council. Half of what he says is in commands. He grew up with Jesus. This is, wow. Now, just for the last part on this first page. James, and I don't know how to write this, the tongue and judging. How many verses, you have to give me some grace here, deal with the tongue. And I'm not saying it says the tongue is the tongue. It says like the tongue's a rudder of the boat and the tongue is like a bit in the horse's mouth. So those are all verses dealing with the tongue. How many verses? Help me. 16. How many on judging?
14.
Whoa. I have not been a happy person in preparation because I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, when I'm telling that guy how he ought not to cut me off on the highway, and I'm just thinking it, I'm not verbalizing it because I'm not big enough to stand behind that, but I'm thinking it. What am I doing? I'm judging. For me. I'm not saying you. I'm judging. When I see some ladies that are dressed what I don't think is modestly, I'm to a point judging. I am. And when I say the phrase, the church ought to do something about that, I'm judging. Those deacons ought to get together and get that, I'm judging. If the shepherd and elders were doing what, I'm judging. And I'm not saying you, me. So again, this book was very early, okay, in the history of the church. And we're trying to work on the fundamentals of our faith, the basics. It is the tongue, and Bev reminded us so perfectly that what's on our heart comes out of our mouth. But look what's second, judging. Wow, this is going to be a basic that I think we'll all have to work on the rest of our life, the rest of our life. But it's important to God. He inspired James to put that in this book, and that's why we're trying to get a handle on it. Any thoughts before we turn the page? You're allowed to think differently. You're allowed to make papers out of your inserts and paper planes. Oh.
To really understand the gospel, to be well versed in what you have to kind of look in detail and to find in James, that there is unconditional election, there is irresistible grace, there is perseverance of the saints. It's there. You can find it, but you really have to be well versed in. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith.
So. I agree 100%, Dave. And yeah. And we're gonna. You're way far ahead of me, like you usually are. Dave leads a really neat small group, and you want to learn about the fear of the Lord, because I'm still scratching my head. James brings it up about the fear of the Lord, but it's spot on, and we'll see when we get to the very end of this morning. By 11:50, I was told that how much he pulls from all of Scripture. And what that means is that he really knew the Scripture that he had, which was basically the Old Testament. And someone else, Kathy mentioned the Beatitudes, I believe, the Sermon on the Mount. That's his brother. And now he knew who he was. And he grabbed hold of his words. And you'll see a little outline on that, but I'm just so impressed with what Adrian did. Open it up. It's funny when you get this old, what things excite you. Now, you're going to have to work a little bit on this one. You can work by yourself. You can talk with a neighbor if you want. But I want you to look at the heading that says repeated words in James. And that took a lot of work to put that together, so you better appreciate it. It did. I couldn't copy this one out of a book. It's easy if you copy it out of a book. But look at those list of words. That's how many times James uses them in his book. But more importantly than all of that, I want you to just ask yourself and look at it. Why? What is the Spirit of God teaching me in the use of these words and using some repeatedly more? Does that mean it's more important? No. It just simply means he used it again and again and again. So there's something there. And I don't know for sure if I know anything that it is, but I want to hear what you think about it in a minute. Then look at the second part. Descriptions of God in James. Now, if you have a better title, put it at the top of your page. But look at all the references down there, how he's referring back to God in this book of James. The giver of joy, the giver of tests and trials, does not tempt, Father of lights. If you want to really just shake your brain a little bit, look at 10 through 17. And we'll get into that in a couple of weeks. But he said, the wisdom from above. Look at this. This is from God. It's from God's wisdom. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle. The wisdom from God is gentle, open to reason. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about it. See if we can figure it out a little bit. Full of mercy, full of good fruits, full of good fruits. Impartial. That means it doesn't judge. And sincere. So if you want to act wisely in the kingdom of God, look at that. That's the wisdom from above. That's not mine. That's God's. So we're going to take a minute. It's going to be quiet in here. And I want you to look at the words that are repeated in James. And look at the numbers. And just think to yourself, and you got this, you can throw it in your Bible. It's yours now, I gave it to you. You can throw it away, whatever. Then look at the descriptions of God. And I'm going to ask after about a minute, minute and a half, what do you think God is doing here? The Holy Spirit of God. What's he trying to teach us? What's he want us to pick up and learn from this? So just take a moment. I'm going to sit down. It'll only be a minute. And see if we have some thoughts on that. Okay, I usually have a trouble keeping my mouth closed. Any thoughts on those lists? Either one of them? Let's see how fast we can make Mac Dodd run.
I see that these are a lot of the words that Jesus used too. So he's saying, look, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said that, even for the description of God as well. A lot of the same words that Jesus uses.
That is a brother, his half-brother. They are. Any other thoughts? That was great. Really, really, I like to say spot on. Mike, they're going to bring you the mic.
Thank you. I think the book of James, for me, is the guideline to teach how to master the subject of living the Christian life. And if you go back to your comments earlier about using commands rather than platitudes, I think the greater the consequence, the more likely you are to receive commands rather than requests. For example, if you have been in the military service, they don't ask you to field strip your weapon. They don't ask you how to throw a grenade. They tell you how, because you have to master certain actions to the point where it just becomes second nature because of the consequences you may face. You know, some of these kids in 6 or 8 weeks, they may be on a battlefield in a life and death situation. As Christians, we're in the same situation, only it's spiritual death versus glory. So I think what he's trying to do is teach us how to master that particular subject so that we can reflect Christ and that then we have our reward in glory.
I agree 100%. but I got to tell you, I never thought about that. If I'm hearing you right, Mike, he's preparing us for what's going to come down the road. And we need to be able to hopefully master it so we can deal with it better. Thank you. Anyone else? Any thought? Any thought? Well, basically any thought. No one else? All right, I'm going to ask you then. You're not going to help me. Look at descriptions of God in James. Just drop down. We're going to play with this one for 5 seconds. Number 18, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Did you hear that ringing back from Pastor Tom's message this morning? Yeah, I did. I thought of it. Intense hostility toward the worldliness that we're trying to, that we might try to bring into the church, or that you and I might try to become like. You know, we're in the world but not of it, and we're going to struggle with that as we walk through. Okay, just and part of your homework, how you like that, is going to be try to read the book of James several times this week, and see if you can pick some of these up, maybe add to the list, and we'll go from there. Okay, just flip it over one more page. Again, you'll find this nowhere else but in Sunday school and chapel, PCA church. And I'm going to have to correct a mistake that I made. Please fix it if you have a pen. It has quotes, and it's not illusions, but illusions. An illusion is something fake. You think you see it, and you really don't. That's not the word I wanted up there. That's the word I gave to Adrienne, and that's the word she typed, and I looked at that, and I'm like, oh, there's no way for me to get around that one. It's just a big boo-boo. And I made it. Okay, there's quotes in the book of James, what I'm trying to show here. Allusions and echoes. And you had mentioned it already. Look at each chapter. We listed things that came out of the Old Testament. You can see in chapter 1, the 12 tribes, the first fruits, the perfect law. A quote is words exactly in the Old Testament. An allusion, he's making a reference to something that we're probably familiar with, and maybe a word, an exact quote, but it's just an allusion. Then there's this real fancy word that Judy and I got to learn in a class we took with Scott. An echo. It sounds like, and it has the same type of meaning, but it's not using the same words. It's an echo. We all know what an echo is. And you're going to find through the book of James, it's full of echoes from the Old Testament, Kathy, from the Beatitudes. But get a handle on what that tells us. James had a great handle on the Word of God that was available to him. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the book of Proverbs. He knew the Psalms. And you'll see these echoes, these allusions, these quotes that just keep coming over and over and over. And I'm going to just, let's just try, look at James chapter 1. The last, and we'll get into that next week. He said, the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. And the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. Huh, where'd that come from? And if you look in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, the prophet Isaiah said, the grass withers. Now you'll know this, but the word of the Lord does what?
Endures forever.
Thank you, Beth. Where did James get this? The sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass and its flowers fall off. Do you see that echo from the book of Isaiah? And what we're learning here is James knew the Word of God. And you'll see that just, you read that just coming up through the Scriptures. To me, it's just really, really neat. And I just think these he was a sharp guy, period. Let me ask you to look at chapter 5 on this last page here. And you're going to see the word the Lord of hosts. I'm going to let you guess at it for a while, and I'm not going to tell you today. But I think you'll be greatly surprised how many times that reference comes up in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, over 260 times in the Old Testament. What? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. So what is James saying when he uses the Lord of hosts? The Lord of heavenly armies. And that's the angels that you and I have. The Lord of hosts. That's his, the Lord of armies. The angelic armies that are there for you and me. Or we won't make it. We won't make it, will we? We can't. So he brings in scripture. It's just loaded with Proverbs. It's loaded from the Psalms. It's loaded from the Pentateuch. But he read that and he knew that. It's probably taught to him by his mother. Really. And you see it coming out in the book. And you see it coming out in the book of James. And you see it, as Bev mentioned, it comes from his heart. From his heart. And I'm going to give you one that I just tremendous. Look at chapter 5, and then in chapter 5, verse 8, James uses the phrase, establish your heart. Now, what does that mean? Establish your heart. Can you hear the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And R.C. Sproul says, you could interpret it this way. Seek ye first above all else the kingdom of God. Now you see James, what's he saying? This is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's military. Have it ready because things are going to shake your heart. Establish your heart. Establish your heart. In the Word of God, in the Spirit of God. So again, he's just bringing the Old Testament and bringing the scriptures up that he had learned in his own life. So a lot of neat things to work with. And this getting down to the last two, we're kind of winding down slow here. That pre-teaching. This is something that comes up in the book of James, and it'll come up over and over and over. And if you read it and read it and read it, I think you'll see it and see it more. Now, what I want to share with you, pre-teaching, is something that I think, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit of God works to help us learn better. For example, I'm going to give you a big one. In the Old Testament, we all know what the Passover is. We remember that, correct? The Passover lamb. The blood was on the door. And the Jews went out from under the door, out of Egypt, out of the bondage. And you and I come out of bondage through the blood. 400 years later, God tells Abraham to do what? Go up on a mountain and take his son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. And then at the last moment, we know this. God provides the what? In the bulrushes, in the bushes. A lamb. A lamb. And we read the Messianic Psalms, the crucifixion of Jesus. He suffered and died and yet did not moan out. As a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he didn't open his mouth. You see the pre-teaching coming along? And then we see John the Baptist in Matthew 3, right before the Sermon on the Mount. What does he say? Behold the what? The Lamb of God. You see the pre-teaching that's going around and around and around so that when Jesus comes and his death, burial, and resurrection comes, this is the Lamb of God. So there's a pattern, if I could say this, and I'm glad Scott's here, not here, and Tom's not here because it probably straightened me out a little bit, which I need it. We see the pre-teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to show you this same pattern that James has in the book of James. And we're not going to look up the verses. It's just, let's just take the very first one. Chapter 1, verse 19, and we'll look at it a little bit better next week. The verse 19, be slow to what? Slow to speak.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry.
Yes. And then our verse of the month last month, which we all have it down pat, all of us, and you're not going to get your lollipop at the end of Sunday school class if you don't say it. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his what? Tongue, but deceives his own heart. His religion. Now, this is James. This isn't me. This is the command again. Now get a feel for this. His religion is, thank you, worthless. Worthless. Wow. Wow. I'd be afraid to say that if I wasn't quoting the scripture. I really would be. But he says that's what it is. But he's trying to prepare us, as Mike said, for what's coming up. So you see the pre-teaching coming along. Just really good. There's a pattern. We'll look at a couple more later on. Now, the very last thing, we're going to close on this. Six helpers. There are so many teachers here, excellent teachers. I call them the TNT on teaching our Sunday school class, Tom Dodd and Tom Stein. Then I call the M&M brothers, and they're not here, so I can get away with it. The M&M elders, Matt Correll and Matt Kikasola, teach. They're just great teachers. Chad on humility. Mike Petura, you know, just gifted guys. We have small group leaders that teach. Why are we revving that motor up? I can almost guarantee you, if you ask any of those teachers and the Sunday school teachers, and when you've taught, Hazel, and Kathy, you've taught, these six words help us learn. So I'm going to ask you to read the book of James, and I'm going to ask you to use these six helpers. I don't know what grade I was in, and when I was in elementary school, all I did was daydream, and it showed. But I do remember this. You have six serving men who taught you all you know. Their names are what and where and when and how and why and who. So you ask those six questions. That's why they're written down. As you go through the scriptures, I guarantee you these teachers that have stood up here ask those questions over and over and over again. Dylan's on deck to teach next. You know what? He's asking the questions over and over again. And as we read the book of James, ask those questions. I'll take an attempt to answer which ones I can. You can help us answer all the questions, but they are helpers to help us to learn. Okay, any thoughts? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you to read the book of James. I'm going to ask you to read it as much as you will this coming week. You have your own devotional patterns, and keep those in place. You have your own way of walking and learning with God. But please add to that reading the book of James. And yes, this counts. You can do an audible on your phone. I just like getting on the Peloton. We've still got a minute. And just turn on the book of James. And it just kind of gets in there. So next week, I'm going to say, how many times did you read the book of James? Did you read it more than one? Hopefully, more than five? Hopefully. But it's only to help us to learn. That's all. To learn the Word of God. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we can't do this on our own. We are just frail. But with the Spirit of God, with our brothers and sisters, with the Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, help us to get a better handle on the book of James. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.